Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here. He's soft-spoken, but he's certainly not low-profile. Here's Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who's in Jerusalem, speaking about the challenges ahead in the Middle East.
While we know that forging a lasting peace will not be quick or easy, we also know that peace is in the interest of all countries in the region, that it is the only way that Israelis and Palestinians alike can enjoy the safety and security they deserve.
That's Robert Gates speaking after a breakfast this morning with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and he's going to have lunch with Defense Minister Ehud Barak. Gates is just one of a steady stream of high-profile U.S. visitors going to Israel or the region this week, including Middle East envoy George Mitchell and National Security Advisor Jim Jones, among others. There is definitely a lot on the table. Here to talk about it is Ethan Bronner, New York Times Jerusalem Bureau Chief, who joins us from Jerusalem. Good morning, Ethan.
Good morning, John.
And from Washington, D.C., Judith Kipper, Director of the Middle East Programs at the Institute of World Affairs, joins us. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning.
Ethan, I'm wondering, there's been a lot of high-profile statements about Iran, and particularly about the Middle East, from the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. But is there a way of sensing the importance of the Barack Obama Robert Gates relationship insofar as that has clout in Israel about issues like Iran and the Palestinian question broadly?
Well, I mean, I think that I don't know that Hillary Clinton said anything all that different from Gates. The issue of an American defensive shield came up today in the press conference between Gates and Barak. I mean, I don't know enough about the relationship between Gates and Obama to really address that thoughtfully. I would just say that in this country, as in many countries, the foreign ministry or the State Department is always a little bit second fiddle to the defense ministry and to the guys with the guns. And they're certainly very happy to have Gates here. And there was some disagreement about how much the United States, how much time the United States should give to the dialogue with Iran or whether it should occur at all. But they've clearly made their peace with it existing. They just want it to be short.
Is there any sense that Gates and Israeli officials are talking about specific modalities should Iran develop a nuclear weapon and actually deploy it? I mean, it was very unusual, it seemed to me, for Hillary Clinton to talk about this defensive shield when she was in Asia. But I'm wondering if they're trying to nail down what would happen if.
Well, I think it's a great question, but I can't really answer it. I just don't know. I mean, I'm not in the room, and what is being said outside the room afterwards does not include that kind of detail.
Sure.
It seems likely that on some level there's a concern about it, but for the moment, everyone is saying it's going to be a couple of years away before they actually get it, and let's see what the focus seems to be on a quick effort at dialogue and then severe sanctions afterward.
Right. And I make a habit of asking you questions that, it's impossible. No one is in the room for these kinds of questions. But I think, is it fair to say that if the Obama administration can demonstrate progress on the Iran question, that it paves the way for progress on the Palestinian question?
Well, I think, yes, although there's an additional connector in there, which is that to get the Arab governments in the region feeling that they're together on something and not having to worry so much about Iran's nuclear ambitions and therefore can move into this other area. So, yes, I think that's true. But broadly, what seems to be happening with all of these visitors and Gates right this week is a notion of a series of moving parts that the Israelis would agree to some kind of temporary settlement freeze, and at the same time there'd be offers or at least in the pocket suggestions of ways in which these Arab governments could make it worthwhile to Israel.
All right, hold on there, Ethan. I'm going to ask a couple of questions to Judith Kipper, who's Director of Middle East Programs at the Institute of World Affairs. We've just been speaking with Ethan Bronner of the New York Times. Judith, is a strategy emerging here in that possibly Iran's nuclear development is an advantage for the Obama administration in getting credibility with Israel on the Palestinian question?
No, I don't think so. I think that the declared position of the Obama administration that they will not tolerate Iran developing a nuclear weapon is a major international, global, American strategic goal. And I think that it cannot be seen in any other context. Obviously, if the Iranians continue to develop a bomb, a nuclear weapon, the U.S. is going to have some very, very tough questions in the future. Dialogue, sanctions, and if none of that works, then what? The military option is on the table, and clearly that is a nightmare scenario. Iran is a huge country, and the U.S. is overextended militarily in Afghanistan and Iraq. No one wants to see the Israelis go in and do a piece of the job. So this, I think, is not in any way can be looked at as a political advantage.
So it's sobering to think that it's a huge distraction. I guess I'm wondering, is it possible to understand what clout the U.S. has with George Mitchell and Jim Jones, National Security Advisor, in addition to Robert Gates in the region?
Well, I think there's two things going on here from the side of the United States. I think, first of all, the series of visitors to Israel to show that we care, that to reassure that the strategic relationship is as strong as ever, that it is permanent. There is no question about it. But on the other side, to also demonstrate that U.S. and Israeli interests are not always identical, and in the end, the U.S. is the big guy. So I think that it is a dual thing here, to reassure the Israelis, but at the same time to put pressure on them that the Obama administration means what it says, and that they really need to start to think about taking some action on settlements, to be tolerant and quiet about the U.S. Dialogue with Iran, because obviously Israeli nipping at our heels every step of the way will in many ways weaken any dialogue the U.S. can set up with Iran.
Judith Kipper, Director of Middle East Programs at the Institute for World Affairs, thanks so much for that analysis. She joined us from Washington, D.C. Ethan Bronner, quickly, what do we look ahead for with the Gates trip to Israel in the next 24 hours?
Well, Gates is already gone. He spoke with both the prime minister and the defense minister today. He's in Jordan, either in Jordan or in the air to Jordan right now. The next big moves here are Mitchell, Dennis Ross, and, as you said, General James Jones. I think those conversations are going to be more focused on the Israeli-Palestinian issue, because several of them are also going to Ramallah to see the Palestinians.
Right.
So the question of Palestinian security forces and Israel's agreement to ease life in the West Bank and to do something about settlements. I think that's going to be the focus, along with the desire to get the Arab countries to do something in exchange.
Terrific. Thanks. Ethan Bronner, New York Times Jerusalem Bureau Chief, speaking with us from Jerusalem. And Femi Okeh has time for...
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.